Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. It is time for What You Need to Know. We begin in the world of the NFL. So the NFL has now lowered their amount of preseason games last week, Bergman. Devin McCourty, safety for the New England Patriots, says that he thinks it's a good idea that the NFL needs to figure out how to play safely, and that's way more important than actually playing preseason games. I'm with Devin McCourty here. Like, how about you figure out what the safety precautions are going to be for when you're actually trying to play football as opposed to worrying about preseason games?
Yeah, absolutely. The first and foremost thing is the safety. But to go just directly with the actual preseason games, this is the first time that I'm actually like, you know what? I think the NFL needs a couple preseason games.
Why?
Because I would like to see them actually have a chance at playing. This year seems like it's more, you haven't been doing as much. You're not having as many scrimmages with other teams as you would during training camps.
Right, but it's not safe. So they need to figure out the safety part of it first.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I'm saying if they ever get to the games, this would be the first time that having preseason games actually makes sense. Where in years past, I didn't think that.
You're saying because they don't have the traditional training camps.
Correct.
Okay. I was wondering if that ice cream you ate didn't just affect your stomach for a second. I was wondering what the hell you were talking about. So anyway, speaking of the NFL, here's another interesting little nugget for what you need to know. The Tennessee Titans are telling season ticket holders they can opt out of the 2020 season. I actually think that's really smart business, Bergman, that you're just telling people, hey, man, look, we get it. People are financially strapped. We may not have as many games. Hell, we don't even know what the hell is going to happen with the season. So if you want to opt out, go ahead. Now's the time. I actually think that's a smart business strategy long term because the fans will appreciate you giving them the option financially.
Yeah, I think that's great. But I wonder what it's like because everything is PSLs now. So if you buy the season ticket.
Well, I don't know if they have. Not everything is PSLs. Not every team has that. And I don't know if the Titans do.
A lot of them. I have no idea if the Titans do or not. But if you opt out and somebody takes your spot, do you still have a chance to get back into it next year? Or are you done now? Like, is it just for 2020 or can you get back in it for 2021? I think that's an important part of all.
Yeah, of course you could try to get back in. But I think that, you know, you may not have the same seats that you had. You'll probably have to give up the seats. But I think that just giving people the financial flexibility where some of these teams are locking you in. You're like, you signed a deal for 2 or 3 years. You're stuck.
I think it's smart for the Titans to be doing it that way. Absolutely.
I think it's smart for every team to be doing it that way. You will give yourself more leeway with your constituency, in my opinion.
Next, I agree.
In the UFC, we have an official fight now. Jorge Masvidal has taken a fight with Kamaru Usman with 6 days left before the big fight. I am a big Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman fan. I actually think it's going to be a really awesome fight. Jorge Masvidal will have to drop 20 pounds in 6 days. Not the first time he's done that, but that's still a lot of weight. Ariel Helwani will join us at 11:15. We'll talk to him more about that. And lastly, Bergman, the NBA players and teams begin reporting to Orlando tomorrow from July 7th through the 9th. Teams will report. And as we've heard, we just had Stefano Fusaro on from the MLS covering that for ESPN and their bubble. Clearly the biggest mistake the MLS made was not allowing teams to report several weeks before games. Like, the games are supposed to start this week for the MLS, and teams reported last week. I think that the NBA is doing this smart by giving themselves basically 3 weeks before games even begin.
The NBA is just proving to themselves once again and to everybody else for the 10,000th time that they're way ahead of everybody else when it comes to anything for their league.
That's what you need to know. Who do we have still someone on hold that wants to chime in? Danny is in Pomona. He wants to chime in on the drive-through affluent neighborhood conversation that just stunned me over the weekend. Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, I live in Pomona, but I'm working in Claremont actually right now, and the city of Claremont doesn't allow any drive-throughs in any of their businesses as well.
Yeah, I've also heard, and this was the other part of the conversation that evolved with my friend, was that, you know, these same affluent neighborhoods here in Southern California also have like a limit on how tall your signs can be, too.
Yeah, exactly. I was putting in a handicap sign, actually, in the city of Pomona, and I had to take it down because it wasn't high enough.
Wow. So, yeah, so many rules and regulations. It seems silly to me. Like, just let the rich people get their drive-thrus too, man. Like, you know, they're hungry. It's about efficiency. I don't think that – I just feel like it's such an outdated line of thinking, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Thank you, Danny. Stay healthy. Stay safe, okay?
You too, bud. Thanks.
All right, man. Take care. Yeah, it just seems weird. But yeah, it just, so that was just mind boggling to me, but he's right. Like even I'm telling you in the South Bay, I've seen it on PCH. If you're on like the Torrance side, you've got drive-thrus. Even here in the caller earlier, Dwayne mentioned Palos Verdes, on Western Avenue, there's a bunch of drive-thrus, but it's on the San Pedro side. So he's right. He's 1,000% right. Like it's kind of crazy that's the way it is.
I didn't even know that this whole thing about the heights needs to be.
Oh yeah,
right.
But that's not just an LA thing. So when I lived in Connecticut, I lived in Fairfield County, which is like kind of where like the New Yorkers live in Connecticut. And there is, so it was like an hour from New York and an hour from Bristol when I used to work there. And there was definitely a limit to how high your sign, how many feet up your sign could be. Yes.
What is the reasoning behind that?
I don't know. Just. I don't know, stodgy, you know, old people.
You can only go
like
so high.
Signs. Yeah, they don't. I don't know. Right. I guess they just don't want people trying to. It looks like excess, I guess, to them. Like, I don't know the reasoning. Like, it doesn't make a difference to me. Like, I don't care. But I do know that that was a thing.
If you go too high, we're just going to have billboards everywhere.
Right. So, yeah. It, well, yeah. Look, it's funny. I was at, you know, months ago when, you know, I went to go for a run in Manhattan Beach and, I noticed like that in certain parts of the Strand, there were houses that were bigger than others. But like they were all like there was like a long stretch where the houses were bigger and then a long stretch where the houses were smaller. And I asked one of the residents there, I said, hey, let me ask you a question. You know, how long have you lived here? And they were like, yeah, you know, for 10 years, 15 years, whatever. And I said, why is it that stretch of houses all can have like three stories and yours can only have like two? And they're like, oh yeah, that was implemented at a certain point where Manhattan Beach said you can only have certain height on your home or whatever. I'm like, this is insane. And where I grew up in Miami in Coral Gables, not where I grew up because that's a rich part of town, where the University of Miami is, you can only paint your house a certain color. Like there's
what?
Places like that. Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. Like I get that part of it. The drive-through stuff though, I had never thought of.
Wait a second. You understand why you can paint your house only a certain color?
No, I don't understand. It's just that I know that that's the rules that they have in like a town like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I bet you there's a lot of that. Like if you live in like a homeowners association, mm-hmm. like one of those gated communities.
Yeah.
Right, Laura?
Yeah.
Like I would imagine they can tell you what you can paint your house. Right?
Yeah. The HOAs are like, it's only, I have a friend. She lives in a really nice neighborhood with HOA and all that. So they only have three colors they can pick from. There's three colors and that's it. So you can alternate, but it has to be those three colors.
Right. Yeah. A lot of those like gated communities are like that, you know, and that it doesn't have to be like Beverly Hills. I'm talking about just like a Orange County. You know what I'm saying? Like it could be just like mm-hmm. a regular, like nice community, you know, middle class community. Right. And or upper middle class community in Orange County.
If I ever live in a place like that, please slap me across the face. That's ridiculous.
Oh, look at you, man of the people, Greg Bergman. I love it.
No,
that's love
ridiculous.
It.
You're not going to tell me if I bought the house, I'm going to paint the house, whatever color I want to paint.
Are you going to be that guy? You're going to be the
yeah.
guy that the HOA is going to fine all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Have
all
you
the
seen
time.
That commercial?
Let my grass grow.
I don't know what commercial it is. I think I want to say it's like State Farm or it's like one of these insurance companies where there's a commercial where the guy bought a house in like an HOA community and like the president of the HOA is like this husband and wife and they used a chainsaw to cut their mailbox because they said their mailbox was too high. I'm like, good Lord. Like, I know it's a commercial and they're exaggerating, but I could just totally see someone doing that. Like, it's just some of these HOAs are a little aggressive. I used to live in a building where the HOA was very aggressive. I'll give you an example. So when I lived in Miami, and I know I'll get to this Lakers thing in a second because then we're going to have Ariel in a few moments to talk MMA. So I lived in a building and we had a dog, right? And then we rescued another dog, right? So we had a puppy, and then a dachshund. We used to have dachshunds, and We had the one dachshund as a puppy, and he was super destructive. So a friend of mine who had dachshunds all her life said, if you get a second one, they become less destructive. And I said, okay, cool. So we rescued a dachshund puppy. She was so cute, like super beat up. Like she had like bow-legged. She had like something wrong with her legs. Like you could tell she was super abused and mistreated. She was such a sweet little dog. So I brought in the second dog. They're like little dogs. Like one weighed like 20 pounds. The other one weighed like 10, you know? And the HOA, someone ratted me out. And I was like, well, what's the issue? And they're like, you can't have two dogs. And I said, well, the president of the HOA has two dogs. And they're like, well, but he owns two units. And my response to them was, do the dogs live in separate units? And they're like, no. And I'm like, then I don't give a crap. Then come sue me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I go, my dogs are smaller than his. And just because he's the president of the HOA and owns two units, I'm not giving up the dog that I just rescued. And I said, if you want, you could talk to my lawyer. One of my best friends was a real estate attorney at the time. So I was like, so when I said that, then they backed off. But it was just like, yeah, these HOAs, man, they're so pushy. Good Lord.
They want to punk you.
Yeah, that means that there's a neighbor that you have there. It's like, HOA, we have two dogs next door.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Come on. What is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
This is our community, and we have to keep it how it needs to be.
Yeah, it's so silly.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Bergman, you're very angry today. You were angry today when I think your stomach problems are an issue today. You were angry earlier when I said that the ESPN NBA power rankings came out and they had the Lakers at 3, and their biggest question was Anthony Davis, you know, is going to have to play center, and it's something he's been reluctant to do. But you went Jim Rome on us and went ridiculous.
Three syllable word. But yes, it's one of those things. Like that's not a good argument because he's going to play the center if he has to play.
I mean,
the
is he though? Do time. You know?
Yes, he's already done it this year. He's played the center.
Not a lot.
Enough times that if it has to do it for an extra 5 to 10 minutes,
why
doesn't
he do it more?
Issue. Because he prefers not to, and throughout the whole season, he's had two guys that can play that position while he's on the floor with him, so he hasn't had to.
Right. The numbers when he is playing center are tremendous, like incredible. Like, it's insane, the defensive numbers when he's at the five. And it's like, it's mind-boggling to me that he doesn't want to do it more. And God, so what happens, Greg, if he doesn't do it more in the playoffs?
Well, if he doesn't do it more, then we're in some trouble, and that means that it's going to have to be Markieff Morris is going to have to be your center at that point. Which,
if Dwight doesn't play, yes.
if
which
Dwight
we still
play.
Don't know if Dwight is going to play, right?
No, we have no idea. But there was a Boogie Cousins has tweeted out. He said
that there's a boogie bomb. Yes, I saw that. Yeah,
I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means he's going to do something or he's going to sign with the team or whatever it's going to be, but. Boogie bomb. Look, if Boogie comes back to the Lakers, that just eases that entire conversation up anyway, right?
I mean, look, that would change things a little bit. I hope he's healthy, right? Because he had cited that he wasn't going to play because of health. So I do think that, if he feels good about it, then sure. Laura, you seem very passionate about this Anthony Davis conversation.
Yeah, I think he needs to suck it up. I mean, we talked about Kuzma and saying, hey, you need to know your role and kind of adjust to the role that they need you to be. So now that AD needs to do the same thing, why are we not being that hard on him? Because it's like, dude, this is a championship. We need this. We want this. Suck it up, play, and do what you need to do to bring that championship home to LA. It's not that hard.
I mean, you're not wrong, is all I'm saying. You're not wrong.
But why do you assume, both of you, just assume that it's not going to happen?
Because he hasn't done it, Greg. That's why. It's
He did it when he was in New Orleans. He's
not
did it. He's
really.
Done it during but he's done it during the season here.
A little bit.
Mm. Yeah, sure. But so he's done it, and he's been in the position before.
No, but
Chris
but they're
Bosch
gonna
had
need
to do it.
They're going to need
Love
it.
Had to do it.
Consistent.
They're going to need to do it consistently. Yes. That's right.
If they don't have Dwight Howard and only JaVale McGee and not Boogie because of his boogie bomb, then I honestly believe, and I'm sure most people do too,
him to do it because it makes them unstoppable, basically. But he needs to do it. All right, we got a break because we got Ariel Helwani coming up. There's big news in the MMA. You know what? Ariel covers the NBA. We'll talk to Ariel about this as well. Ariel joins us in 90 seconds. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. And of course, My Computer Career, training for a better life. Ariel Helwani will join us in a second, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Bergman, before we get to Ariel, read the comment you just got on social media from about the HOA conversation.
So from the real Matt, he wrote, "I work for an HOA company, and that commercial is not exaggerating. We get complaint calls all day from neighbors snitching on one another."
I mean, who snitches to the HOA? Like, what kind of person are you? Let's ask Ariel Helwani. Ariel Helwani is the best in the business at covering MMA. We will talk to him about Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman fighting this weekend. Masvidal taking the fight on 6 days' notice. But before that, who's worse? The guy who snitches on you to your HOA, or the guy who wants to cut in line at a particular venue that you are there that just randomly all of a sudden doesn't realize he's cutting you off?
Wow, that is tough. And by the way, can I just say, I love the fact that I now have a theme song for your show. This
you
is
do?
Amazing. Every
yes, time. Laura, right. Taking care of you.
Well done, Laura, my fellow non-bike rider. I will say the guy who snitches to the HOA, because like you got to go out of your way to do that, right? Like you got to work hard to do something like that. Like, you know, you cut in line somewhere at a concession stand, you're just kind of being impatient, selfish, whatever. But like to go through the trouble of snitching to the HOA, to me, seems a lot more calculated and a lot more mean-spirited.
Yeah, agree wholeheartedly. That's why we bring you on this show, because you and I agree a lot. I'm just kidding. All right, real quick, an NBA question for you. We were having this discussion. Today is Zion's 20th birthday. I have stated, not that I'm trying to push LeBron out, that I believe he is the up-and-coming face of the NBA. People on the show have tried to make a case for Giannis, for example, which is okay. I think that you can potentially make that case that he's in that discussion right now. And even Anthony Davis over a guy like that, or even KD. Now, while all those guys may be better players than Zion right now, I just feel like Zion has that it factor where the audience gravitates to him. We've seen that in record number ratings and things of that nature. Where are you on that conversation?
With all due respect to AD, definitely not him. KD is a little bit older now, right? And he has the injury, so we'll see how he rebounds from that. It's 100% Zion for multiple reasons. He's an Instagram athlete, right? And what I mean by that is, like, everyone wants to post his clips. Everyone wants to post. I mean, look at that picture of him wearing the mask. I mean, that thing was shared a gazillion times. And just like a picture, which, you know, it was a cool picture and all, but like that thing, a picture went viral. When do pictures go viral, right? In sports, because you can get the actual clips. For some reason, that picture, and everyone was wondering how he would look. There's so much, you know, there's not a lot of intrigue about how Giannis looked. Yeah, he was skinny. He got bigger. Okay, this guy is like a freaking superhero. He looks like a heavyweight champion. He looks like a middle linebacker, and he dunks with ferocity, and he comes out of his shoe, and his first preseason game, which I think was a year ago yesterday, the earthquake and all that stuff. Like, just crazy things seem to happen around Zion. He's got an incredible name, Zion, just a fun name to say. So, yes, I think if he could stay healthy, and that's, to me, one of the big questions going into this restart, will he play all 8 games? How healthy will he be if they make the playoffs? All that stuff and more. If he can stay healthy, I think he will be the future face of the NBA, no doubt.
Ariel Helwani joining us here. All right, Jorge Masvidal takes the fight against Kamaru Usman with 6 days left before the fight. How did this all come together, Ariel?
Oh, man, what a story. And how excited are you, George, right? I mean, your fellow Miami guy stepping up to save the day. This is great stuff. You can't get this in any other sport. I love the NBA dearly. You know how much I love the NBA. But there's just this thing about MMA where you get these circumstances where a guy comes out of nowhere, 6 days notice, saves the day, and it ends up being a fight that is more anticipated than the original main event. So as you may know, they were talking with Masvidal for several months about having him fight Kamaru Usman. It's the fight we all wanted to see, dating back to when they had their little kerfuffle at the Super Bowl Media Row in Miami in late January. But unfortunately, they couldn't come to terms with Masvidal, so they went with the cheaper option, a guy named Gilbert Burns. He's a great fighter, but it didn't have the heat that Masvidal Usman had. So they went to him a month ago and they gave him the fight. On Friday, as they're about to leave on their charter from Vegas to Abu Dhabi, we get word that Gilbert Burns is out. And all of a sudden, Jorge sends out a tweet. And then all of a sudden on Saturday, starting to hear, all right, he's into it. But, you know, 6 days, they're far apart. Jorge said a lot of things about the UFC. Can they come to terms? All this stuff. It seemed like a bit of a long shot. Come Saturday afternoon, holy smokes, they're talking. And things are going well. and there's a path to making this fight happen. Late Saturday, early Sunday, they make the fight happen. Then he had to get on a plane early Sunday morning from Miami to Las Vegas. He had to take a COVID test, take all his medicals, quarantine, wait for the test result, because imagine everyone got all excited and then he fails the COVID test. That would have been heartbreaking. But he passed it. Usman left Vegas, went back to Dallas, turned around, went back to Vegas, took another test, and he passed as well. And so right now they're both en route to Abu Dhabi. Believe it or not, they're going to be fighting in 5 days. And then upon landing in Abu Dhabi, they'll have to take three more tests before the fight on Saturday. We hope that they pass all of them, and then we'll get to see one of the most anticipated fights of 2020. These guys despise each other, and it's crazy. Like, the last 72 hours have been nuts, and it has just raised the excitement level for this card. I can't wait.
Ariel Helwani joining us here. He's the best in the business at covering MMA. So how do they stack up against each other stylistically, Ariel?
Kamaru Usman is undefeated in the UFC. He's the welterweight champion for a reason. He's a great wrestler. I was just talking to my colleague Daniel Cormier about him and his wrestling pedigree. And, you know, he's turned into a great MMA fighter as well. But wrestling has always been his bread and butter. It's his foundation. Masvidal is a striker, right? He's a kickboxer. Now, I think Masvidal's takedown defense is actually a lot more underrated than people give him credit for. And I actually think that he's a better wrestler than people give him credit for. But he's nowhere near the level of a Kamaru Usman, you know, who used to train at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs and all that and more. So, you know, the easy answer is Masvidal wants to keep this fight standing. Usman wants to keep this fight on the mat. He wants to take him to the ground. But easier said than done. And sometimes wrestlers, especially someone like Usman, who's had some success with his striking as of late, they fall in love with the striking and they get away from their bread and butter. We've seen this a lot with DC, with Yoel Romero, another Cuban American now. So, you know, we wonder what's going to happen. Obviously, Usman's going to be in a bit of better shape, I think, than Masvidal. You know, he was training, but he wasn't like in a full training camp once they took the fight away from him. He told me he has 20 more pounds to cut, and that's not really all that significant. But it is significant in this sense. He has to fly to Abu Dhabi now. And upon landing in Abu Dhabi, he may be stuck in his hotel room for about 48 hours because they're being very strict there. I've talked to people who are already there. They have CCTV cameras all over the place, and you are not allowed to leave your room. And so he's going to have to figure out how to cut that weight. It's very hot there. Like, in the middle of the night, it's 105 degrees Fahrenheit, but it's a little different than your usual fight camp. Now, he's never missed weight, so it's not an issue for him. But these are all just little factors that I'm curious about come fight night. But in the end, Usman wants to take the fight to the ground. Masvidal wants to keep it standing. We'll see who wins out.
Ariel Helwani with us here. He's so important in the MMA world that he's got three damn shows. Ariel Helwani's MMA show, Ariel and the Bad Guy, and of course, DC and Helwani with Daniel Cormier. Make sure you check out all his work. Fight Island. What should we know about Fight Island? Because everyone seems intrigued just by the name. Yes. You know, John Oliver did a whole bit on it a couple of weeks ago on HBO. He said they should have called it UFC as in S-E-A. But anyway, what should we know? What are the details about Fight Island that are interesting?
Yeah, and then Dana White stole that idea and trademarked it. And
yes.
Oliver said, yeah, you're welcome. So I've talked to people who are there, like I said, who are, so they're going to do four cards, July 11th, 15th, 18th, and 25th. And they've essentially built a makeshift sort of arena slash hangar on this place called Yaz Island in Abu Dhabi, which is exclusive to the UFC fighters and their staff. So basically 10-mile radius. They're calling it a safety zone. Not all that different than the quote-unquote bubble in Orlando for the NBA and MLS players. No one can enter if you're not involved in any of this. They have their own hotel, the W Hotel over there, own restaurants, all that stuff. But they're being very strict. Like, when they got there from the airport to the hotel, they sanitized all their luggage. Everyone's wearing the full suit, you know, multiple tests. You take a test in Vegas, then you have to quarantine, fly over, take a test upon landing, take another test. You haven't even left anywhere. You got to take a third test. Then you make way, take a fourth test, and then you get to the fight. Now, a lot of people thought that the fight was going to happen on the beach. It's not going to be on the beach. There's going to be no waves crashing behind. It's going to be in the middle of the desert, and it's really hot there. Like I said, middle of the night, 105 degrees. And why do I bring up the middle of the night? It's because the fight card is actually going to be happening in the middle of the night to cater to us here in North America. So the main card usually starts at 10 p.m. Eastern. Those fighters are going to be walking at 6 a.m. Sunday morning. They're 8 hours ahead of us here on the East Coast. So that's a big thing as well, like, which, you know, clock you stay on and all that stuff. But and another thing is it gets really hot there, obviously, and the air condition in the past hasn't worked very well, so the fighters get very sweaty, tired, all that stuff. So there's a lot of factors involved. But the UFC, I got to give them credit. They're pulling this off. They rented charter planes from four hub cities, Sao Paulo, Moscow, London, and Vegas. All the fighters flew from these different hub cities, and they're doing a great job. And as a result, we're getting a great card on Saturday. Three title fights, great fighters like Rose Namajunas, Paige VanZant also on the card. I am excited, George.
You sound excited. We're very excited for it. Ariel Helwani is the best in the business at covering mixed martial arts. Check out all his shows. Ariel Helwani's MMA show, Ariel and the Bad Guy, DC and Helwani, which the latest episode is up and live right now. You can check it out for yourself. Brother, you are the best. Thank you for hanging out with us. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
Anytime, my man. Thank you.
See ya. There he is, Ariel Helwani with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. All right. Coming up next, Cam Newton is letting people know. I'll tell you what he's letting people know about in just a second. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Ariel Helwani for joining us there. Thanks to Stefano Fusaro, who joined us earlier. He's the only ESPN reporter at the MLS bubble as we try to gleam off what they can do and figure out what other leagues should be doing, particularly the NBA. They're going to keep a close eye on that as they're reporting here this week as well. The MLS has already had to postpone games for this tournament because they didn't arrive early enough and there's too many positive tests. It's just been a wild, wild scenario. I want to get to Cam Newton here in a second. Also want to shout out our guy, Scott Kaplan. So for those of you that don't know, Will Cain has left ESPN, which means that there's no more Will Cain show, which means that the station, and it's not all our choice. We work for a parent company that helps as part of the decision-making process here. And we are going to try to figure out what to do with the lineup. Is that the best way to describe it, Corporate Greg?
Yes, that's pretty good. We don't have anything concrete yet.
Did I make you very nervous by even bringing this up?
You know, it's not the easiest spot for me to be in.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I like making you nervous, so I know.
It's your joy in life,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah. So anyway, my buddy Scott Kaplan, who has worked in San Diego for many, many, many years, so I'm sure plenty of you know him from his days at 1090, he is going to be filling in for the next couple of weeks from 12 to 3 right after us, so we're going to do crosstalk with him. It'll be fun. I'm here this week. I'm out next week. I'm just taking some time off just to kind of take a mental break, basically. And I also have to kind of prepare for some other stuff that I'm doing for the company. But with this week, I'll be around to hang out with Scott. He's great. If you are not familiar with him, you're going to love him. Give him a shot. Have some fun. Be supportive with him. And Bergman, that means you actually have to work, huh? 5 hours in a row, baby.
I know. I get to produce Scott Kaplan. I'm excited about that also. So I just stick on right after you and keep going with Scott.
Yeah, you actually have to work for a change.
Nope.
Not the two-hour easy deal you normally have. Laura has to sit there and work after we're gone. You've got to put your feet up, you know, go have more Haagen-Dazs or Ben & Jerry's or whatever the hell you had last night. Laura has to actually put in work, okay?
I know. No, when I leave, after we're done, I just stop doing everything. I lay down, I take a nap for about 4 hours. Yeah,
look at that.
It's a pretty easy
life. I know.
Life.
And Laura's had to grind. You've had nothing. Now you have to actually grind like Laura. Anyway, it ain't game day, but you still can feast like it. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, a fan favorite with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. So we'll talk to Scott in the crosstalk segment in the next segment. But Bergman, I mentioned during What You Need to Know that the Tennessee Titans are allowing people to opt out of their season tickets. Now, you say we have an update here with one of the local Southern California teams.
Yeah, we were talking about how every team should be doing this, and Ralph Cartel tweeted, and he said that the Rams are letting us season ticket holders also skip the season. The PSL holds your seats.
Gotcha.
His PSL payment is every March for the next 10 years.
Okay, gotcha.
So there you go. If you have the PSL, then you have the seats, which means that you can then buy the season tickets afterwards.
Okay, fair enough. Are you excited for UFC 251? Did Ariel Helwani sell you on it?
Oh, I am extremely excited to.
You don't even love the UFC all that much, but this Fight Island thing has to be interesting to you.
Yeah,
please.
Fight Island is very interesting to me. So yes, I would. I am looking forward to watching it. I just got to figure out if I'm going to buy it or what I'm
going to
do.
Or use other means is what you're saying?
No, no. Like maybe like I don't really go to people's houses, but you know,
maybe. Especially not now. But Bergman, right. Let's be real.
Stop being cheap.
You used to jack these feeds all the time.
I didn't jack anything. I don't know what you're speaking of. I would go on the internet and just randomly there would be a feed on my screen. I didn't do anything.
Wait a second. The Dodgers are on, even though I don't have Sportsnet LA.
It just happened to be on my screen when I turned on the computer. How it got there is beyond me.
Yeah, Laura, did he sell you on UFC 251? Ariel sell you?
Yes. I used to be a big UFC fan a long time ago and I stopped. Yeah. Yeah. But since I've been hearing Ariel, he has so much hype and he loves it that he pumps you up.
Yeah, he does.
Even if you're not a fan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. By the way, happy birthday, Sylvester Stallone today. 74 years old. I feel like we should have done this way earlier in the show. It just kind of came on my radar. I didn't realize. God, he looks great. I actually, you know what I did recently? I saw the Creed movies again. And
I haven't seen the second one. I haven't seen the second one. Was it worth it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, look, if you like the Rocky movies, I think you should watch the Creed movies. I'll say this. I don't know if this is a hot take or not. The Creed movies are better than the Rocky movies.
Whoa. Yeah. I've seen the first one, and it was really good.
Listen, I grew up on the Rocky movies. I grew up on the Rocky movies. But I'll tell you this, Rocky IV, for as great as it is, okay, he fights Drago the Russian. Somebody actually broke this thing down on the internet. You can Google it and find it. A third of the movie, 33% of the movie is just musical montages. Like, that's all it is. It's just musical montages. Him, when Apollo dies, he gets in his car. There's no easy way out. There's no shortcut. Oh! And he's driving around town. He's very angry. He's reliving Apollo dying. You know, Adrian is telling him, you can't win. You know, like all those things. 33% of the movie when he goes to Russia and he trains. It's a musical montage. It's all it is. And it culminates in him at the top of the mountain yelling, Drago! Like 33% of the movie, for as great as it is, okay, is a musical basically. So I'm telling you, the Creed movies, I watched them again recently. They're better than the Rocky movies.
Can you just do the music in the car again?
There's no easy way out. There's no shortcut home. I mean, listen, the 80s were all about the musical montage, okay?
But
it was good. People are texting me, Chris Morales, how dare you? He sent me a gif of Rocky jumping rope in the cabin in Russia. I'm just telling you, 877-710-ESPN. Are the Creed movies better than the Rocky movies? Right now, I'm going to put up a poll. We're going to talk about this. Real quick, get the calls in. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. In the interim, Cam Newton, did you see what he posted on Instagram today, Greg?
No, I haven't looked at his Instagram today.
So Cam Newton posted a video, and I'm just going to kind of surmise what he said. Basically, he said, you're going to choose that over this. I guess he's talking to all the teams that passed on him and particularly the Carolina Panthers. I'm really a monster, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm tired of being humble. I kind of like Cam with the chip on the shoulder, not having played in a while. Maybe I'm hoping he's healthy because he only played two games last year. The combination of him and Belichick, like I'm super intrigued by how this thing could turn out.
I love jacked up Cam Newton. I think he's going to come in and he's going to come in strong and he's going to be fantastic. Now, it stinks that he's going to be with the Patriots, but because then they're going to
Does kind of stink. Like if it was any other team, I would feel, but it's the combination of him and Belichick. For as much as I dislike the Patriots, I love what Belichick brings to the table, cheating and all. I still think that he's the best because he's even the best at cheating. Because you know what? We've only caught him a couple of times, which means he's cheated way more that we haven't caught him.
No, he's consistently cheating, and I don't think it ever stops. But I love the fact that Cam Newton's going to come in with that huge chip on his shoulder, and he's going to just ball out. I'm very excited to watch him.
Yeah, it is one of the most intriguing storylines we've had in the NFL in a really long time. We love a redemption story. We love to build people up, to tear them down, to bring them up again. Now, I've been critical of Cam at times, but I've always been a Cam fan. Like, there is no way you can watch him play football and not be enamored by what you're watching on the field. But man, like I am ready for a Cam Redux here. Let's go to Patrick in North Hollywood who wants to weigh in on the conversation. Patrick.
Woo! You got me worked up about that Rocky stuff, man.
Okay.
Oh, man. Like, I will agree with you that the original Creed is a top three Rocky movie. Creed 2, not so much. But to say that Creed is better than Rocky, the original Rocky, that's crazy. That is insane.
I'm just telling you, man. Like, the original Rocky movie, I know it got Oscar love, and I appreciate the call. Stay healthy, stay safe. But I'll tell you this. Like, just pound for pound, movie for movie, Creed is better. I am way more into the Creed movies. And look, I'm not the newest thing is the best thing guy. I'm not that guy. As a matter of fact, you hear me all the time kind of reference older things, which kind of makes me both sad and also happy at the same time. But I'm telling you, Creed, I find it better. We'll ask our boy Scott Kaplan about all this and all the nonsense we've discussed today during Crosstalk. He's going to be in 12 to 3. No more Will Cain show. My buddy Scott Kaplan's going to be in there in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk to Scott on Crosstalk in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. And of course, it's not game day, but you can still feast like it. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken. Our fan favorite with a new campfire flavor plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. Our pal Scott Kaplan is in today. I love this man. He is a friend. Treat him right. Respect him. Show him love. We are sharing a show unit. He gets the great Laura and the mediocre Greg Bergman, but nonetheless, they are a great pair together. Scott Kaplan, how are you?
George Sedano, how's it going, man?
I'm good, buddy. How was your holiday?
It was great. Oh, my goodness. I went to Mammoth Lakes, California. Have you taken your family to Mammoth?
I have been before, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a place. But people there, they were out in the wilderness. They were out in the woods. They were amongst the fresh air. They were utilizing the lakes. People were running, assuming you could breathe in that altitude. People were on bikes. Mine was electric, of course, because I wasn't about to try and fight those hills. But the point is, people were out living this past weekend, George.
Oh, yeah, listen, I get it. As long as you're doing it responsibly, I'm good with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, I'll give you an example. My six-year-old today is doing summer camp, right, for a week. Six kids only. It's, in theory, very safe, right? Plenty of people there that we trust that will be overseeing the summer camp, including her old kindergarten teacher. So I feel good about it. But, you know, it was kind of one of these weird deals, right, where as long as it's being done responsibly, I feel good about it. And then the other aspect of this is she's a six-year-old kid. Like, how much can she learn using technology, right? Like, she needs actual people teaching her stuff. And whether that's at a summer camp or in school, we're going to have the need to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, people lived. Listen, how about 4th of July night? Did you see the fireworks show over Los Angeles? I mean, the aerial shots of helicopters, news yeah. helicopters, cruising through neighborhoods as what looked like professional fireworks shows were happening. It was as if they were coordinated, like everybody got on yeah. Twitter together and said, okay, look, 9:08 p.m. tonight, give me your best stuff. And yeah. then boom, boom. And I heard from people that were like, dude, I thought I was in like downtown Baghdad. Like, what's going on here? Bombs are exploding. The fireworks display, the color and the beauty, illegal, but spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you just drive out to Vegas, you know, and you get yourself get yourself what you need to get yourself ready for the 4th of July. But I'm with you. It was really nice. I did see the images. They were fantastic. All right. So let me ask you this before I move on.
Talk
before
to me.
What is there anything worse than an HOA? Like, if you run an HOA, like, what kind of person are we talking about here? Like, if you had to give distinct characteristics to the person that runs an HOA, who is this person?
My guess would be, because I would never do this, never in a million years would I ever sit on the board, become the president of the HOA. Would never do it. Would never volunteer my time for it. Would say, anybody who's got that kind of time, good for you, but I'm busy. So my assumption would be that somebody who sits on that board or presides over that board is somebody who really, really wants to be in control of what's going on in your neighborhood. I had a situation years ago where I changed out my garage doors. I make it sound cool, George, but the reality is I had a garage door sponsor, right? And they were putting on these really dope garage doors for free. So I went, yeah, do it like that and like that. And they came and they put up these really amazing garage doors. And wouldn't you know it, within like a week, I get a letter from the HOA. Hey, you didn't have permission to put up those garage doors. And by the way, those garage doors don't match with any other house. And I go, yeah, you know why? Because all of our houses look like they were just coming out of a cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Mine now stands out.
Right.
So you tell me, what's going on with an HOA?
Oh, my God. They're just we just kind of stumbled upon it. They're like the most annoying people ever, man. Like, I don't understand how anyone would want to run one. And, it started this way because I had this conversation with a friend of mine over the weekend who, lifelong Angeleno, right? And we were talking about different neighborhoods. We were talking about food and whatnot. He's like, hey, by the way, you ever notice something? I said, what's that? And he's like, the more affluent the neighborhood, the less drive-thrus there are here in Southern California. And I was like, it kind of dawned on me. Like, yeah, I kind of get that. Like, here in the South Bay where I live, the drive-thrus are on PCH. But they're like, for example, like if you live in Manhattan Beach, you know, PCH also kind of divides like Torrance, right? So they're like on the Torrance side. Same thing with like Redondo. Same thing here in Palos Verdes. If you go down further on Western Avenue, there's drive-thrus on one side and there's, you know, regular restaurants on the other. The drive-thru side is actually technically San Pedro. It's not Palos Verdes. So I had no idea. And I was trying to think, like, you and I, you grew up in South Florida like I did. Mm-hmm. I don't recall that being the case there. Like, maybe I'm wrong, I just didn't dawn on me, but it made me kind of revisit everywhere I've lived in my entire life and if that's actually a thing that happens elsewhere.
Yeah, like you just mentioned South Florida. I know both of us, you know, we grew up there. That's where our relationship began 20 plus years ago. But that all being said, when I was a kid growing up, if you wanted fireworks, you just go right to the firework guy who's
right.
selling them on the corner at the gas station.
Yeah.
And you all of a sudden were ready to put on a professional 4th of July fireworks display. And that was completely legal. In fact, they just encouraged it.
Right.
Now, when you talk about where fast food restaurants show up, which, by the way, I'm trying to figure out what correlation I was trying to make. I don't even have one, but it's totally true. I mean, really, I mean, you say you live in the South Bay. You don't live in the South Bay. I live in the South Bay. You know how south I live? I live in the southernmost part of Los Angeles. It's called San Diego. And that happened when Carmen Policy tried to help Dean Spanos and Mark Davis create a stadium together. And he called this the mega market from Santa Barbara down to the border. That's now the mega market. So
right.
I'm the South Bay now. But yeah, not a lot of fast food restaurants with drive-thrus in affluent neighborhoods as far as I'm just racking my brain trying to find one. And I'm thinking about all the drive-thrus that I might use, which I don't use them that often, but if I did, where they would be.
Yeah, it's one of those things that didn't even dawn on me. You know what I'm saying? Like the surrounding areas certainly do. But yeah, you got to drive a little bit, which is strange. Like, and the way he nailed it to me was, yeah, you ever seen a drive-thru in Beverly Hills? And I'm like, no, I've never seen one in Beverly Hills.
You got me.
You got me. Switch gears for you.
Go ahead. I just wanted to know if you were going to get me into the Rocky Creed conversation.
Yes,
I
mean, that's where I'm going next.
Okay,
that's where
thank
I'm going
you.
Next. All right, Rocky or Creed? Is my take too hot? Is that what's happening here?
You're saying, as I heard you, that Creed, pound for pound, is really the better film, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't share that opinion with you.
Why?
For two reasons.
Have you seen Rocky IV? It's a musical, for God's sake.
Okay, but aren't we talking about Rocky?
No, the series. We're talking about the series of movies. There's only two Creeds, and there's like 9,000 Rockies, it feels like.
Oh, okay. So now we're talking series for series.
Yes.
But that's like talking conference versus conference. Like, hey, there's three good teams at the top of the conference, and the next eight teams stink. You know, the first three Rocky movies are good, and the next five stink, but there's only two Creeds, so the sample size is smaller. Here's my issue. You ready?
Go ahead. Give it to me.
I've not seen Creed.
What?
Oh my God. The look that I just received and the what that just came through my ears. I haven't seen Creed.
Okay, so then you can't bring anything to the table yet if you haven't seen the movie.
All
right, so here's what you need to do.
All right.
Go on Apple TV or Hulu or whatever you subscribe to. rent yourself some Creed for $3.99. Mm-hmm. And come back to me tomorrow and just tell me what you think. Because Ryan Coogler, as a director, no disrespect to Sly on his 74th birthday, okay?
Yeah.
Shout out to Sly.
Birthday?
He looks fantastic for 74.
He's still ripped ridiculous out of his face, juiced up. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's amazing what he's been able to accomplish with himself. So, but yeah, go get yourself, go rent it for $3.99 and come back to me. Because I'm telling you that that movie is phenomenal.
The hard part of it is this. Have you seen Star Wars, like the original Star Wars?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the most recent Star Wars film in the
you know, they did the most recent one, which is the last one in theory. The Rise of Skywalker. Yes.
The Rise of Skywalker. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The Rise of Skywalker. That's the most recent Star Wars film, right?
Yes. Yes.
Now is the Rise of Walker a better movie pound for pound than Star Wars, the original Star Wars?
No.
Not better.
No.
Not better. Now, it's interesting you say that because I want to tell you something. Recently, I was trying to convince one of my children, my 16-year-old daughter, that she really needed to watch the original Star Wars. So I'm trying to find it. Do you know that the original Star Wars is no longer named Star Wars? There's a new name for
it. A New Hope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I couldn't find it. I had no idea. Like, nobody told me that Star Wars isn't Star Wars anymore.
Well, because what happens was when Lucas made those prequels, he then went to calling it by the name of the chapter of the 9-chapter book he wrote. That's what happened.
Yeah, that one got by me, as did Creed.
Yeah, but here's what I did. So I've got the 6-year-old. She wanted to get into Star Wars the way I felt like it was going to happen. Now, my wife has no interest in Star Wars. She thinks we're nerds. So, like, she may be right. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with her, just so you know.
It's fine. She may be right. You may be right as well. So I thought, how do I get a 6-year-old into Star Wars? So if I start with the one that you're talking about, the original Star Wars movie that was made in 1977, I'm going to lose her. Like, there's no way a 6-year-old's going to have the attention span for that. But in The Phantom Menace, which is the first of the prequels that Lucas made, Anakin Skywalker, who becomes Darth Vader, is actually like a 9-year-old kid. So I felt like if I got her to watch that movie, I could get her hooked because she's like, oh, that's another little kid like me. And that's what happened. Boom. Now into Star Wars.
Okay, we see that would have been great advice for me because I'm telling you right now, 30 minutes into the original Star Wars, which now is called Star Wars something else.
Yeah.
That movie right there, 30 minutes in, my daughter looked at me and I looked at her and I said, this movie's terrible, right? And she goes, yeah, it's horrible. I said, okay, fine, turn it off. We turned it off. It's so bad.
It's different. It just hits different notes. Now, I think you have to be into that Star Wars universe. Like, look, I like the Star Trek movies too. Like, I used to watch the Shatner ones back in the day. Like, look, The Wrath of Khan was like the ABC movie of the night when I was a kid every Saturday or Sunday night, okay? Like, I saw that movie a million times over. But I'll tell you this, as much as I like Shatner and the boys, you know what I'm saying? The Chris Pine ones are unbelievable. Like, I saw
Chris
those.
Chris Pine the bald guy?
No, Chris Pine is Captain Kirk, the new Captain Kirk.
Oh.
Yeah. And J.J. Abrams, the director for the new Star Wars movies, also did those first. Those are good movies. So I'm telling you, not all the new ones are better than the older ones. But I do think I still pay homage to the old Star Wars. Now, call me a sensitive soul, but that's where I'm going with those.
Well, hey, it is great to be with you, by the way. And the entire crew at ESPN 710 Los Angeles, I swear to you, I haven't been this excited to go on the radio since, 25 years ago, which makes me sound old. I'm really millennial and cool. I promise you I am. But I have not been this excited to get on the radio in ages, George. Thank you so much for all the things you said, man.
All right, brother. Enjoy the show. I'll be listening. Have fun. And we'll talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it.
All right, see you. Thanks to Scott. Check out his show coming up in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Thanks to Greg and Laura, the callers who tuned in, who called in. Stefano Fusaro, Aria Hawani, who joined us. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Cap is up next.